The Apology of the Church of England by John Jewell, Bishop of Salisbury. Copyright 2013. Hail and Fire. This audiobook is provided free by the Hail and Fire online library at hailandfire.com. This audiobook is composed of a lightly edited 1888 edition text and is not licensed for republication in any form without prior written consent. A URL, link to the Hail and Fire online library and bookstore, may be published in order to encourage downloading of this audiobook. The Apology of the Church of England by John Jewell. Introduction. The great interest of Jewell's apology lies in the fact that it was written in Latin to be read throughout Europe as the answer of the Reformed Church of England, at the beginning of Queen Elizabeth's reign, to those who said that the Reformation set up a new church. Its argument was that the English church reformers were going back to the old church, not setting up a new. And this Jewell proposed to show by looking back to the first centuries of Christianity. Innovation was imputed, and an apology originally meant a pleading to rebut an imputation. So, even as late as 1796, there was a book called An Apology for the Bible, meaning its defense against those who questioned its authority. This Latin book of Jewell's, Apologia Ecclesiae Anglicani, written in Latin because it was not addressed to England only, was first published in 1562. And translated into English by the mother of Francis Bacon, whose edition appeared in 1564. That is the translation given in this volume. The book has since had six or seven other translators, but Lady Anne Bacon's translation was that which presented it in Queen Elizabeth's time to English readers, and it had the advantage of revision by the Queen's Archbishop of Canterbury, her coadjutor in the establishment of the Reformed Church of England, Matthew Parker. It was published, with no name of author or translator on the title page, as an apology or answer in defense of the Church of England, with a brief and plain declaration of the true religion professed or used in the same. The book was prefaced by a letter to the Right Honorable Learned and Virtuous Lady, A.B., Anne Bacon, M.C. wisheth from God grace, honor, and felicity, where M.C. signifies Matthew Cancher, Matthew Parker, Archbishop of Canterbury, whom Lady Anne Bacon had made her judge, and whose judgment, the letter says, her book had singularly pleased. Lady Anne Bacon was the second daughter of Sir Anthony Cookie, who was tutor to King Edward VI. Sir Anthony gave to his five daughters a most liberal education. His eldest daughter, Mildred, married Sir William Cecil, afterwards Lord Burleigh, while Anne became the second wife of the Lord Keeper, Sir Nicholas Bacon. Their father had made Mildred and Anne two of the most learned women in England. John Jewell was 40 years old when he wrote the Apology. He was born in Devonshire in 1522, on the 24th of May, at the village of Budden, near Ilfracombe. He studied at Oxford, where he became tutor and preacher, graduated as B.D. in 1551, and was presented to the rectory of Sunninghill. At the accession of Queen Mary he bowed to the royal authority, but he was a warm friend and disciple of Peter Martyr, who had come to England in 1547, at the invitation of Edward VI, to take the chair of divinity at Oxford. On the accession of Queen Mary, Peter Martyr, who was born at Florence in 1500, and whose family name was Vermigli, returned to Strasbourg, and went thence to Zurich, where he died in 1562. Jewell, repenting of his assent to the new sovereign's authority in matters of religion, followed his friend Peter Martyr across the water, and became vice-master of a college at Strasbourg. Upon the accession of Elizabeth, in 1588, Jewell came back, and he was one of the 16 Protestants appointed by the Queen to dispute before her with a like number of Catholics. In 1559 John Jewell was appointed a commissioner for securing, in the west of England, conformity with the newly arranged church service, and he had to see that the Queen's orders were obeyed in the churches of his native county. Before the end of the same year he was consecrated Bishop of Salisbury. He was most zealous in performance of all duties of his charge. to his good offices, young Richard Hooker owed his opportunity of training for the service of the Church. Among Jewell's writings, this apology or defense of the Church of England was the most important. But he worked incessantly, and shortened his life by limiting himself to 4 hours of sleep, taken between midnight and 4 in the morning. Bishop Jewell died on the 21st of September, 1571, before he had reached the age of 50. H.M. An apology or answer in defense of the Church of England. With a brief and plain declaration of the true religion professed and used in the same. Part 1. It hath been an old complaint, even from the first time of the patriarchs and prophets, and confirmed by the writings and testimonies of every age, that the truth wandereth here and there as a stranger in the world, and doth readily find enemies and slanderers amongst those that know her not. Albeit perchance this may seem unto some a thing hard to be believed, I mean to such as have scant well and narrowly taken heed thereunto, specially seeing all mankind of nature's very motion without a teacher doth covet the truth of their own accord. And seeing our Saviour Christ himself, when he was on earth, would be called the truth, as by a name most fit to express all his divine power. Yet we, which have been exercised in the Holy Scriptures, and which have both read and seen what hath happened to all godly men commonly at all times, what to the prophets, to the apostles, to the holy martyrs, and what to Christ himself, with what rebukes, revilings, and despites they were continually vexed whiles they here lived, and that only for the truth's sake, we, I say, do see that this is not only no new thing, or hard to be believed, but that it is a thing already received, and commonly used from age to age. Nay, truly, this might seem much rather a marvel, and beyond all belief, if the devil, who is the father of lies, and enemy to all truth, would now upon a sudden change his nature, and hope that truth might otherwise be suppressed than by belying it, or that he would begin to establish his own kingdom by using now any other practices than the same which he hath ever used from the beginning. For since any man's remembrance we can scant find one time, either when religion did first grow, or when it was settled, or when it did afresh spring up again, wherein truth and innocency were not by all unworthy means, and most despitefully entreated. Doubtless the devil well seeth, that so long as truth is in good safety, himself cannot be safe, nor yet maintain his own estate. For, let him pass the ancient patriarchs and prophets, who, as we have said, had no part of their life free from contumelies and slanders, we know there were certain in times past which said and commonly preached, that the old ancient Jews, of whom we make no doubt but they were the worshippers of the only and true God, did worship either a sow, or an ass, in God's stead, and that all the same religion was nothing else but a sacrilege, and a plain contempt of all godliness. We know also that the Son of God, our Saviour Jesu Christ, when he taught the truth, was counted a juggler and an enchanter, a Samaritan, Beelzebub, a deceiver of the people, a drunkard, and a glutton. Again, who wotteth not what words were spoken against St. Paul, the most earnest and vehement preacher and maintainer of the truth? Sometime that he was a seditious and busy man, a raiser of tumults, a causer of rebellion. Sometime again, that he was an heretic. Sometime, that he was mad. Sometime, that only upon strife and stomach he was both a blasphemer of God's law, and a displeaser of the Father's ordinances. Further, who knoweth not how St. Stephen, after he had thoroughly and sincerely embraced the truth, and began frankly and stoutly to preach and set forth the same, as he ought to do, was immediately called to answer for his life, as one that had wickedly uttered disdainful and heinous words against the law, against Moses, against the temple, and against God? Or who is ignorant that in times past there were some which reproved the holy scripts of falsehood, saying they contained things both contrary and quite one against other? And how that the apostles of Christ did severally disagree between themselves, and that St. Paul did vary from them all? And, not to make rehearsal of all, for that were an endless labour, who knoweth not after what sort our fathers were railed upon in times past, which first began to acknowledge and profess the name of Christ. How they made private conspiracies, devised secret councils against the Commonwealth, and that end made early and privy meetings in the dark, killed young babes, fed themselves with men's flesh, and, like savage and brute beasts, did drink their blood. In conclusion, how that, after they had put out the candles, they committed adultery between themselves, and without regard wrought incest one with another, that brethren lay with their sisters, sons with their mothers, without any reverence of nature or kin, without shame, without difference, and that they were wicked men without all care of religion, and without any opinion of God, being the very enemies of mankind, unworthy to be suffered in the world, and unworthy of life. All these things were spoken in those days against the people of God, against Christ Jesu, against Paul, against Stephen, and against all them, whosoever they were, which at the first beginning embraced the truth of the gospel, and were contented to be called by the name of Christians, which was then a hateful name among the common people. And although the things which they said were not true, yet the devil thought it should be sufficient for him, if at the least he could bring it so to pass as they might be believed for true, and that the Christians might be brought into a common hatred of everybody, and of their death and destruction sort of all sorts. Hereupon kings and princes, being led then by such persuasions, killed all the prophets of God, letting none escape. Esau with a saw, Jeremy with stones, Daniel with lions, Amos with an iron bar, Paul with the sword, and Christ upon the cross, and condemned all Christians to imprisonments, to torments, to the pikes, to be thrown down headlong from rocks and steep places, to be cast to wild beasts, and to be burnt, and made great fires of their quick bodies, for the only purpose to give light by night, and for a very scorn and mocking stock, and did count them no better than the vilest filth, the offscourings and laughing games of the whole world. Thus, as ye see, have the authors and professors of the truth ever been entreated. Wherefore, we ought to bear it the more quietly, which have taken upon us to profess the gospel of Christ, if we for the same cause be handled after the same sort, and if we, as our forefathers were long ago, be likewise at this day tormented, and baited with railings, with spiteful dealings, and with lies, and that for no desert of our own, but only because we teach and acknowledge the truth. They cry out upon us at this present everywhere, that we are all heretics, and have forsaken the faith, and have with new persuasions and wicked learning utterly dissolved the concord of the church, that we renew, and, as it were, fetch again from hell the old and many a day condemned heresies, that we so have brought new sects, and such broils as never erst were heard of, also that we are already divided into contrary parts and opinions, and could yet by no means agree well among ourselves, that we be cursed creatures, and, like the giants, do war against God himself, and live clean without any regard or worshipping of God, that we despise all good deeds, that we use no discipline of virtue, no laws, no customs, that we esteem neither right, nor order, nor equity, nor justice, that we give the bridle to all naughtiness, and provoke the people to all licentiousness and lust, that we labor and seek to overthrow the state of monarchies and kingdoms, and to bring all things under the rule of the rash inconstant people and unlearned multitude, that we have seditiously fallen from the Catholic Church, and by a wicked schism and division have shaken the whole world, and troubled the common peace and universal quiet of the Church, and that, as Dathan and Abiram conspired in times past against Moses and Aaron, even so we at this day have renounced the Bishop of Rome without any cause reasonable, that we set naught by the authority of the ancient fathers and councils of old time, that we have rashly and presumptuously disannulled the old ceremonies, which have been well allowed by our fathers and forefathers many hundred years past, both by good customs, and also in ages of more purity, and that we have by our own private head, without the authority of any sacred and general council, brought new traditions into the church, and have done all these things not for religion's sake, but only upon a desire of contention and strife. but that they for their part have changed no manner of thing, but have held and kept still such a number of years to this very day all things as they were delivered from the apostles and well approved by the most ancient fathers. And that this matter should not seem to be done but upon privy slander, and to be tossed to and fro in a corner, only to spite us, there have been besides willingly procured by the Bishop of Rome certain persons of eloquence enough, and not unlearned neither, which should put their help to this cause, now almost despaired of, and should polish and set forth the same, both in books, and with long tales to the end that, when the matter was trimly and eloquently handled, ignorant and unskilful persons might suspect there was some great thing in it. Indeed they perceived that their own cause did everywhere go to rack, that their slights were now espied, and less esteemed, and that their helps did daily fail them, and that their matter stood altogether in great need of a cunning spokesman. Now as for those things which by them have been laid against us, in part they be manifestly false, and condemned so by their own judgments which spake them. Partly again, though they be as false, too, indeed, yet bear they a certain shown colour of truth, so as the reader, if he take not good heed, may easily be tripped and brought into error by them, specially when their fine and cunning tale is added thereunto. And part of them be of such sort as we ought not to shun them as crimes or faults, but to acknowledge and profess them as things well done, and upon very good reason. For shortly to say the truth, these folk falsely accuse and slander all our doings, yea the same things which they themselves cannot deny but to be rightly and orderly done, and for malice do so misconstrue and deprave all our sayings and doings, as though it were impossible that anything could be rightly spoken or done by us. They should more plainly and sincerely have gone to work if they would have dealt truly. But now they neither truly, nor sincerely, nor yet Christianly, but darkly and craftily charge and batter us with lies, and do abuse the blindness and fondness of the people, together with the ignorance of princes, to cause us to be hated and the truth to be suppressed. This, lo, ye, is the power of darkness, and of men which lean more to the amazed wondering of the rude multitude and to darkness than they do to truth and light. And as Saint Jerome saith, which do openly gainsay the truth, closing up their eyes, and will not see for the nonce. But we give thanks to the most good and mighty God, that such is our cause, wary against when they would fainest they were able to utter no despite, but the same which might as well be rested against the holy fathers, against the prophets, against the apostles, against Peter, against Paul, and against Christ himself. Now, therefore, if it be lawful for these folks to be eloquent and fine-tongued in speaking evil, surely it becometh not us in our cause, being so very good, to be dumb in answering truly. For men to be careless what is spoken by them in their own matter, be it never so falsely and slanderously spoken, especially when it is such that the majesty of God and the cause of religion may thereby be damaged, is the part doubtless of dissolute and wretchedless persons, and of them which wickedly wink at the injuries done unto the name of God. For although other wrongs, yea oftentimes great, may be borne and dissembled of a mild and Christian man, yet he that goeth smoothly away, and dissembleth the matter when he is noted of heresy, Rufinus was wont to deny that man to be a Christian. We therefore will do the same thing, which all laws, which nature's own voice doth command to be done, and which Christ himself did in like case, when he was checked and reviled, to the intent we may put off from us these men's slanderous accusations, and may defend soberly and truly our own cause and innocency. For Christ verily, when the Pharisees charged him with sorcery, as one that had some familiar spirits, and wrought many things by their help, I, said he, have not the devil, but to glorify my Father, but it is you that have dishonored me, and put me to rebuke and shame. And St. Paul, when Festus the lieutenant scorned him as a madman, I, said he, most dear Festus, am not mad, as thou thinkest, but I speak the words of truth and soberness. And the ancient Christians, when they were slandered to the people for man-killers, for adulterers, for committers of incest, for disturbers of the common weals, and did perceive that by such slanderous accusations the religion which they professed might be brought in question, namely, if they should seem to hold their peace, and in manner to confess the fault. Lest this might hinder the free course of the gospel, they made orations, they put up supplications, and made means to emperors and princes, that they might defend themselves and their fellows in open audience. But we truly, seeing that so many thousands of our brethren in these last 20 years have borne witness unto the truth, in the midst of most painful torments that could be devised, and when princes, desirous to restrain the gospel, sought many ways, but prevailed nothing, and that now almost the whole world doth begin to open their eyes to behold the light, we take it that our cause hath already been sufficiently declared and defended, and think it not needful to make many words, seeing the matter saith enough for itself. For if the popes would, or else if they could weigh with their own selves the whole matter, and also the beginnings and proceedings of our religion, how in a manner all their travail hath come to naught, nobody driving it forward, and how on the other side, our cause, against the will of emperors from the beginning, against the wills of so many kings, in spite of the popes, and almost Morgan the head of all men, hath taken increase, and by little and little spread over into all countries, and is come at length even into kings' courts and palaces. These same things, methinketh, might be tokens great enough to them, that God himself doth strongly fight in our quarrel, and doth from heaven laugh at their enterprises, and that the force of truth is such, as neither man's power, nor yet hell gates are able to root it out. For they be not all mad at this day, so many free cities, so many kings, so many princes, which have fallen away from the seat of Rome, and have rather joined themselves to the gospel of Christ. And although the popes had never hereto unto leisure to consider diligently and earnestly of these matters, although some other cares do now let them, and diverse ways pull them, although they count these to be but common and trifling studies, and nothing to appertain to the pope's worthiness, this maketh not why our matter ought to seem the worse. Or if they perchance will not see that which they see indeed, but rather will withstand the known truth, ought we therefore by and by to be accounted heretics because we obey not their will and pleasure? If so be, that Pope Pius were the man we say not, which he would so gladly be called, but if he were indeed a man that either would account us for his brethren, or at least would take us to be men, he would first diligently have examined our reasons, and would have seen what might be said with us, what against us, and would not in his bull, whereby he lately pretended a council, so rashly have condemned so great a part of the world, so many learned and godly men, so many commonwealths, so many kings, and so many princes, only upon his own blind prejudices and foredeterminations, and that without hearing of them speak or without showing cause why. But because he hath already so noted us openly, lest by holding our peace we should seem to grant a fault, and specially because we can by no means have audience in the public assembly of the general council, wherein he would no creature should have power to give his voice or to declare his opinion, except he be sworn, and strictly bound to maintain his authority, for we have had good experience hereof in the last conference at the council at Trident, where the ambassadors and divines of the princes of Germany, and of the free cities, were quite shut out from their company. Neither can we yet forget, how Julius III, above 10 years past, provided warily by his writ that none of our sort should be suffered to speak in the council, except that there were some, peradventure, that would recant and change his opinion. For this cause chiefly we thought it good to yield up an account of our faith in writing, and truly and openly to make answer to those things wherewith we have been openly charged, to the end the world may see the parts and foundations of that doctrine, in the behalf whereof so many good men have little regarded their own lives, and that all men may understand what manner of people they be, and what opinion they have of God and of religion, whom the Bishop of Rome, before they were called to tell their tale, hath condemned for heretics, without any good consideration, without any example, and utterly without law or right, only because he heard tell that they did dissent from him and his in some point of religion. And although Saint Jerome would have nobody to be patient when he is suspected of heresy, yet we will deal herein neither bitterly nor bravelingly, nor yet be carried away with anger and heat. Though he ought to be reckoned neither bitter nor brabler that speaketh the truth. We willingly leave this kind of eloquence to our adversaries, who, whatsoever they say against us, be it never so shrewdly or despitefully said, yet think it is said modestly and comely enough, and care nothing whether it be true or false. We need none of these shifts which do maintain the truth. Further, if we do show it plainly that God's holy gospel, the ancient bishops, and the primitive church do make on our side, and that we have not without just cause left these men, and rather have returned to the apostles and old Catholic fathers. And if we shall be found to do the same not colourably or craftily, but in good faith before God, truly, honestly, clearly, and plainly. And if they themselves which fly our doctrine, and would be called Catholics, shall manifestly see how all these titles of antiquity, whereof they boast so much, are quite shaken out of their hands, and that there is more pith in this our cause than they thought for. We then hope and trust that none of them will be so negligent and careless of his own salvation, but he will at length study and bethink himself to whether part he were best to join him. Undoubtedly, except one will altogether harden his heart and refuse to hear, he shall not repent him to give good heed to this our defence, and to mark well what we say, and how truly and justly it agreeth with Christian religion. For where they call us heretics, it is a crime so heinous, that unless it may be seen, unless it may be felt, and in manner may be holden with hands and fingers, it ought not lightly to be judged or believed, when it is laid to the charge of any Christian man. For heresy is a forsaking of salvation, a renouncing of God's grace, a departing from the body and spirit of Christ. But this was ever an old and solemn property with them and their forefathers. If any did complain of their errors and faults, and desired to have true religion restored, straightway to condemn such ones for heretics, as men newfangled and factious. Christ for no other cause was called a Samaritan, but only for that he was thought to have fallen to a certain new religion, and to be the author of a new sect. And Paul the Apostle of Christ was called before the judges to make answer to a matter of heresy. And therefore he said, according to this way which they call heresy I do worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which be written in the law and in the prophets. Shortly to speak, this universal religion which Christian men profess at this day was called first of the heathen people a sect and heresy. With these terms did they always fill princes' ears, to the intent when they had once hated us with a predetermined opinion, and had counted all that we said to be faction and heresy, they might be so led away from the truth and right understanding of the cause. But the more sore and outrageous a crime heresy is, the more it ought to be proved by plain and strong arguments, especially in this time, when men begin to give less credit to their words, and to make more diligent search of their doctrine, than they were wont to do. For the people of God are otherwise instructed now than they were in times past, when all the bishops of Rome's sayings were allowed for gospel, and when all religion did depend only upon their authority. Nowadays the Holy Scripture is abroad, the writings of the apostles and prophets are in print, whereby all truth and Catholic doctrine may be proved, and all heresy may be disproved and confuted. Sit hence, then, they bring forth none of these for themselves, and call us nevertheless heretics, which have neither fallen from Christ, nor from the apostles, nor yet from the prophets. This is an injurious and a very spiteful dealing. With this sword did Christ put off the devil when he was tempted of him, with these weapons ought all presumption, which doth advance itself against God, to be overthrown and conquered. For all Scripture, saith Saint Paul, that cometh by the inspiration of God, is profitable to teach, to confute, to instruct, and to reprove, that the man of God may be perfect, and thoroughly framed to every good work. Thus did the Holy Fathers always fight against the heretics with none other force than with the Holy Scriptures. Saint Augustine, when he disputed against Bertullian, a heretic of the Donatists, let not these words, quoth he, be heard between us, I say, or you say, let us rather speak in this wise, thus saith the Lord. There let us seek the church, there let us bolt out our cause. Likewise Saint Hierome, all those things, saith he, which without the testimony of the Scriptures are holden as delivered from the Apostles, be thoroughly smitten down by the sword of God's word. St. Ambrose also, to Gratian the Emperor, let the Scripture, saith he, be asked the question, let the prophets be asked, and let Christ be asked. For at that time made the Catholic fathers and bishops no doubt but that our religion might be proved out of the Holy Scriptures. Neither were they ever so hardy as to take any for a heretic whose error they could not evidently and apparently reprove by the self-same Scriptures. And we verily do make answer on this wise, as Saint Paul did, according to this way which they call heresy we do worship God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and do allow all things which have been written either in the law or in the prophets, or in the apostles' works. Wherefore, if we be heretics, and they, as they would fain be called, be Catholics, why do they not, as they see the fathers, which were Catholic men, have always done? Why do they not convince and master us by the divine Scriptures? Why do they not call us again to be tried by them? Why do they not lay before us how we have gone away from Christ, from the prophets, from the apostles, and from the holy fathers? Why stick they to do it? Why are they afraid of it? It is God's cause. Why are they doubtful to commit it to the trial of God's word? If we be heretics, which refer all our controversies unto the holy Scriptures, and report us to the self-same words which we know were sealed by God himself, and in comparison of them set little by all other things, whatsoever may be devised by men, how shall we say to these folk, I pray you what manner of men be they, and how is it meet to call them, which fear the judgment of the holy Scriptures, that is to say, the judgment of God himself, and do prefer before them their own dreams and full cold inventions, and, to maintain their own traditions, have defaced and corrupted, now these many hundred years, the ordinances of Christ and of the apostles. Men say that Sophocles, the tragical poet, when in his old days he was by his own sons accused before the judges for a doting and sottish man, as one that fondly wasted his own substance, and seemed to need a governor to see unto him, to the intent he might clear himself of the fault, he came into the place of judgment. And when he had rehearsed before them his tragedy called Oedipus Colonois, which he had written at the very time of his accusation, marvellous exactly and cunningly, did of himself ask the judges whether they thought any sottish or doting man could do the like piece of work. In like manner, because these men take us to be mad, and impeach us for heretics, as men which have nothing to do, neither with Christ, nor with the Church of God, we have judged it should be to good purpose, and not unprofitable, if we do openly and frankly set forth our faith wherein we stand, and show all that confidence which we have in Christ Jesus, to the intent all men may see what is our judgment of every part of Christian religion, and may resolve with themselves, whether the faith which they shall see confirmed by the words of Christ, by the writings of the apostles, by the testimonies of the Catholic fathers, and by the examples of many ages, be but a certain rage of furious and mad men, and a conspiracy of heretics. This therefore is our belief. End of part 1. Copyright 2013. Hail and Fire.